your Bibles to the Gospel of John, verse chapter 1. We're going to stand and read the first 18 verses responsibly. Chapter 1. John chapter 1. Three verses, 1 through 18. I'll read the first verse and you read the second and so on. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
The same was in the beginning with God.
All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made.
In Him was life, and the life was the light of men.
And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not.
There was a man sent from God, whose name was John.
The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe.
He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light.
That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world.
He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not.
He came unto his own, and his own received him not.
But as many received him, them gave he power to become the Son of God, even them that believe on his name.
Which were born, not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace.
John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.
And of his fullness have all received, and grace for grace.
For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this group gathered to hear the word and pray to you and seek your face. I ask you to give me a freedom and ease to preach that only you can give. And that, Lord, you will touch every heart and life here.
Amen.
We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Be seated, please. We're going to spend a little bit of time on this chapter in a minute, but I want you to turn to Proverbs 23:23. Proverbs 23:23. It's one of those verses, sort of like, be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's such a truth. That you can take it and apply it to anything. Well, this is one of the same things. 23:23. Buy the truth, sell it not. Also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Buy the truth. How do you buy the truth? Well, sometimes you can do it with money. Most of the time you got to do it with effort. Most of the time if you want truth, you're going to have to study. You're going to have to think. My father was a very wise man. He was a moderate man, where I'm somewhat of an extremist, but he was my moderate man, and he could not understand sometimes my extremism. And so he was warning me all the time and talking to me all the time, and I thank the Lord for the wisdom that he had and how I could get some truth from him. And I could look and see what might happen down the road. Now, he didn't get mad if I didn't follow his advice, but he wanted to talk to me. And so we would sit there and talk for a while. If you do this, what are the possibilities? Or if you do this, what are the possibilities? And he was pretty well right, as I learned. And the older I grew, the more respect I had for him. I had respect for him, but the more I got. You know what you want? You want truth. You want truth. There are a lot of people that are crooked out there. There are a lot of people that just want your money. Every once in a while I read about these contractors that they got a down payment of $6,000, $8,000, $10,000 and they don't ever show back up. You know, the advertisements. What about the politicians? Right now we got all these political ads. How many of them are true? Not a lot. Not a lot. You can just almost bet when a politician opens his mouth, he's lying. It's a shame. It's a shame even when a good man goes and gets into the thing, there's so much compromise and so much problem and so much graft. Brian was preaching here the other day and he gave us some of these things the government pays for. We don't need some of these things. It's a waste of money. It's trash. The advertisements you get on your television, are they true? I don't think so. But you know, I had the big ads on the cars. I like cars. I love new cars. I don't have one, but I just have 236,000 on my Grand Marquis. It's still going. Praise the Lord. Maybe I'll get 500,000 on it. Reckon? I doubt it. I doubt it, really. But they tell you, okay, we're going to knock off $10,000. Boy, we're going to give you a gift of $12,000. Well, they just put the price up higher, drop it down $12,000. You're still paying too much. The Bible has a statement like all men are liars. All men are liars. You better believe that. You better think about it a little bit. All men are liars. You want the truth. How many religions this day are lying to their people, their own people? They're lies. They're not the truth. Now, he says, buy the truth. Pay the price. You know, the first time I read this book, and by the way, I started at the first. When I got saved, I didn't have anybody to tell me and instruct me on how I ought to study the Bible and what would be the easier way to learn it and what I needed to learn before I needed to learn something else. And so I just started at Genesis, and well, Genesis was great. Exodus pretty good, but then boy, you get down into some of that law and some of those begets, and all the stuff like that, and I said, whoa! I don't know where I'm going. Took a while. But this book right here is worth studying. I'll tell you the truth. I came to the place a long time ago, almost 60 years, that I believed this was the Word of God. I thought it was worth reading. I thought it was worth studying. And certain verses were worth just emphasizing over and over and over again, and this is one of them. Pay the price for truth. Buy the truth. Whatever it costs you, you want truth. And he said, sell it not. Some people sell the truth by getting a new job. And so they go someplace, and then they settle for another church, or they settle for another doctrine, or they settle for no church at all, or whatever. Whatever it doesn't make. Well, bless your heart. This Bible is the Word of God, and it's the truth of God. You need to pay the price to know it. And I want you to know that the average Christian today, the average born-again Christian today, doesn't know their Bible. Amen. You know why? They won't put out the time to read it. Amen. Now, I understand. When I was growing up, I spent all the time outside I could. It was hot. We didn't have air conditioning. We didn't even hardly have a fan. You stayed outside till 10 o'clock before you wanted to go inside that house. Now, your kids, man, they got computers, they got games, they got air conditioning, they got instruments. Wow, no wonder they don't want to go out and sweat in the sun, get dirty and all messed up. They got the greatest entertainment the world has ever seen, and you do too. So a lot of our believers today are not really familiar with the Bible except what's being preached from a pulpit somewhere. And let me tell you, there's not a whole lot of good being preached from an awful lot of pulpits. That's the truth. I'm sorry, but it's the truth. You got a place that believes the Bible and preaches the Bible, you ought to thank God for it. You ought to get up every day and ask Him to bless it, protect it, because it's got plenty of enemies that want to stop it. And you, with your own laziness, you, with your own indifference, you that want to let everybody else do what needs to be done, but don't count on you, that's just another vote against the truth. He said, buy the truth, don't sell it. Once you get truth, don't sell it. I've bought and sold a lot of things in my life. Sure do. Bought them at garage sales, bought them used where, here, there, and yonder, and then sold them the same way. I used to, in a time of good times, I'd buy a boat. And then when I got broke, I'd sell the boat. So I've done a few things like that in my life just because I've been broke most of my life. That's the truth. What about truth? What would you take to give up truth? Well, there's a whole lot of people out there. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 8. Verse 31. John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Notice what he said to his disciples. If you continue in my word, my word. Well, that's what I'm reading from. I honestly believe it's the word of God, miraculously given to us by the will of God and the wisdom of God. It's a tremendous thing. He said, if you continue, if you continue, don't be lazy. And I know it would take an effort. It's going to take an effort on Christians' part in our day and time, the way we run, what we see, all the entertainment that we have, all of the things that are pressed upon us. You mothers that have kids in school, you're running one here and one there and someplace. You're just like a big taxi service. And I know it has to be tremendously frustrating. But he says, if you continue in my word, if you want to know the truth, you got to continue in the word. Don't be so lazy. Open up your Bible every day. You say, well, I've read it. Read it again. Read it over again. You really want to know something, you better just memorize it. Read it over and over and over and over again. And you know what? After you read it 50 or 100 times, you can still find something new in the same verses. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You know what happened? When I found out the truth about Jesus Christ and what he did for me, set me free from sin. Set me free from guilt. Set me free from a lot of burdens. He said he forgave me everything, removed my sins as far as the east is from the west. That's a long ways. He buried him in the depths of the sea. We haven't been to the bottom of the sea. There are some crevices in that ocean. Good night. They have not gotten to the bottom of them. Buried him in the depths of the sea. To be remembered against me no more. Oh, Lord, you're praying again 2 or 3 days later, a week later, confessing the same sin because of your guilt. He's already forgotten it. He's already removed it. He's already buried it where you can't get it anymore. You don't have to do that because he set you free by the knowledge of the truth that you got from the Word of God and what Christ has done for you. God has set you free from the burden and the penalty and the guilt of sin. Wow. Do you remember? Did you ever sense it? I sensed a load, a huge load go off of me. when I got saved. Wow. If you continue in my word, you're going to be my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now go to John chapter 1. In the 20th chapter of St. John, it says in verse 30, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. John said, I selected some. I didn't write them all. Well, why are these written? But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. This book, about 20 pages, was written that people would be saved. You might ought to pay real good attention to the Gospel of John. In fact, if I would advise anybody that just gets saved or wants to get saved, I'd say read the book of John over 4, 5, 10 times. Just 20 pages. Every time you read it, you're going to see some truth. Truth about what? Truth about your sin. Truth about your Savior. Truth about the only way to be saved. The only way to go to heaven. Tremendous book. Read it over and over and over again. It's probably been published more than almost any portion of the Scripture. I've given away hundreds, maybe thousands of Gospels of John. Just take the Gospel. Instead of giving somebody a whole New Testament, which costs $20, $30, $40, give them a dollar Gospel of John, and they've got the message of the Gospel written out for them. And what was the purpose of the Apostle John? That people might believe. They might be saved. I don't think we ever ought to forget that. I don't think we ought to forget that the number one purpose we have is preaching the Gospel so that people can be saved. You know, it's not a Christian school or an education. It's not a social club. It's the Gospel. It's the Gospel. And he said right here, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The Bible says we were made for his pleasure. God made us for his own pleasure. Who made us? Jesus. That's what it's telling you right here. Now, I am reading a very smart, unbelieving evolutionist book. He's a very smart man. And I really appreciate his insight into certain things. But I just feel sorry for a guy that smart, and he doesn't believe in God. You know, I look around, and me, what am I, a jumbled mass of blood and skin and bones? How do we keep living? What is it about us? It's amazing. It's amazing. Everything in life, all these animals we love and that we eat and we enjoy and whatever, and man, this is a tremendous, tremendous creation. How in the world could you not believe somebody made it? How in the world? It's not an accident. I don't see how in the world it could ever be an accident. To me, intelligent people that do not believe in God, it just makes me believe they're not as intelligent as we think they are. And yet this guy is very smart. What about you? What do you think about God? You know, the older I get, the bigger God gets. In my mind. The older I get, the more I see, the more I learn, the more somebody tells me about how I'm made up and how my body is made up and how I can affect it or it affects me and how all of us just keep on going and doing the things that we do. I say, wow. Wow. DNA, the programming in me, they could clone me. You say they wouldn't want to. Well, I understand that, but they could clone me. They could take a little bit of my flesh and make another just exactly like me. Isn't that amazing? What kind of a God? How big is God? Wow. I look at this book. This is a tremendous book, the Gospel of John. You ought to read it over and over and over again. You ought to read Romans over and over and over again. And if you got those two books down, you might not get off the line on salvation and some other things that are there. You might pay the price to keep the truth that God Almighty has let you see. I love Jacob's prayer. I pray it again and again. Lord, thank you for all your mercies. Thank you for all your mercies and thank you for all your truth. Where did you get so blessed as to come across this book? Praise God. Somebody had mercy on you. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody witnessed to you. Somebody took this book and gave you a verse and said, I believe that verse. And you read it, and something like, buy the truth and sell it not, or the wages of sin is death, or God so loved the world. I bet you that's been printed more than anything. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's been in almost every language there is in the world. Wow. That truth that's there, don't sell it. Don't let anybody sell it short. He said right here, he's the creator. The Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things that were made, everything was made by him. You know that? You know that? You were made by him. You don't belong to yourself. You don't really have a right to not give yourself to God. You belong to God. He made you for a purpose. He has a purpose for you, and it's not sin. He has a purpose for you, and it's not a waste. He has a purpose for you to bring him glory. He has a purpose for you that you would praise him. Some of you men, and some of you women, I guess, some of you men need to learn to tell your wife or your girlfriend or your whoever, I love you. I'll tell you what, you got a responsibility to tell God, I love you. I love you. You're the greatest. Praise. Praise ought to be coming out of our mouth. Too much complaining, amen. Not enough praise. Amen. Praise God. That's what he made you for. He made you for his own pleasure. What a wonderful thing you've been made for. God Almighty, he's not a bad God. You know, we don't have a choice. If God were bad, we couldn't do anything about it. You say, well, if God were bad, I just wouldn't worship him. Well, so what? What are you going to do against God? He said that he made everything. All things were made by him. I want you to notice something else. Look at verse 4. In him was life. You know why you're alive? God made you alive. God gave you the gift of life. God passed that life along to you. What a wonderful thing. How things grow in the womb and are born and then grow up nurtured in this life. God did a marvelous thing. It just, the whole scheme of everything ought to awe you every day. You ought to get up in praise and say, God, what a wonderful world you've made. Past my understanding, past my even believing how great you really are. But he is. In him was life. Verse 10, it says, the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Look at verse 12. But as many as received him, To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Received him. As many as. Most of you that are here today look like family people, church people, people we know. Some of you come all the time, some of you come every once in a while, but we're recognizable. Maybe there might be some in not. But you know what? I'm on a grand search, and I have been for almost 60 years. I'm on a grand search to meet somebody that wants to believe in Jesus. I'm on a grand search to meet somebody that'll listen to me tell them a story of how Jesus can forgive your sins and save your soul and change your life. I'm on a grand search, and I've been looking for years, and I've found some, praise God. What a joy. What a joy to find somebody who has a need, who has a burden, who's burdened down with the load of his sin or the guilt or whatever, and bring them to God and tell them, look, believe this verse. Call on God. He'll save your soul. He'll change your life. Wow, what a blessing. That's a tremendous blessing. As many as received him. He said, what do you do? Make him a son of God. Son of God. How privileged can you be? You are a worm. You are a worm. You're a bunch of blood and hair and bone and skin. What are you worth? About a couple of dollars, I guess. And God Almighty will come in and live with you. God will come in and change your life. I look back on mine. Wow, what a change. Almost 21 years old. 20 years old. Just a few months from 21. My wife got a new husband. My kids got a new father. My friends got a new friend. I got a new master. I got a new destiny. I was on the road to hell. I was scared of hell. Some of you aren't scared of hell, and that's because you're too foolish. If you thought about hell a little while, you'd get scared. I believe hell is what the Bible describes it as, and I don't like what I read. I've never enjoyed preaching on hell, but I believe I have to sometimes. I believe that's my job. I wasn't like some of you who got a picture of God and said, oh, he's so great, I want to be like him. No. I saw God as a great big judge, and I knew I deserved to be judged. And I figured if he judged me, I'd go to hell. And I had a friend in my work that took my truck on my run and died. Could have been me. I'd have done the same thing he did. But I was alive. Wow. How close did I come to hell? I really don't know. But let me tell you what. I praise God I didn't go to hell. I praise God I'm not going to hell. You know why? Because he's life and he gives life. And even after you have this life, he gives you eternal life. Wow. How do you get any better than that? Sons of God, heirs of heaven, brothers to Jesus Christ, God my Father. Wow. And all I had to do was believe. Believe. Trust the Word. That's what he's talking about. He's the Word. He's the expression of God. Many has received him. Have you received him? Is he your only hope of salvation? Or you think maybe you're good enough to make it? I want to give you a little bit of understanding, and this is true. You're not good enough to make it. You may be the sweetest little girl. You may be the sweetest grandmother around. You're not good enough to make it. You need Jesus. Jesus is the answer to your problem. Jesus is the one name that can get your sins forgiven, get you a place in heaven. I used to pastor a little country church up in Kenemanche, Texas. And They used to sing a song, Lord, just build me a cabin in the corner of Glory Land. It's a good song. Wow. I mean, it's lively, it's peppy, it's good. Everybody loves singing it. I don't think it's not true. There are no cabins in Glory Land. I don't care if you are the very least Christian to ever get in on the family of God, you're not going to be in a cabin, you're going to be in a mansion.
Amen.
He didn't say, I'm going to go build a shack for you, I'm going to build a tent for you, because you're one of my worst disciples. No, he said, I'm going to come back, I'm preparing a mansion. He'd been doing it for 2,000 years. He'd been preparing a mansion. What's it going to be like? Wow. You ought to just be happy thinking, I'm headed for heaven. I have a friend. He's dead now. Name was Willie Cosby, and he was a little bit of a thug. And a Houston thug off the wharfs down there and spent time in the Arizona State Pen for armed robbery. And then he got saved, got his life turned around, and did a lot of things. And then after he was saved, he was going down and somebody pulled a gun on him, threatened to kill him. And he said to the person, do you know what you're threatening me with? Life. Heaven. You're threatening me, you're going to send me to heaven. And you think that worries me? It doesn't worry me. Because you're threatening me with heaven. If you go ahead and pull the trigger, I'm just going to go right into the presence of the Lord. Are you there? Are you there yet? You still afraid of what somebody can do for you? Jesus said, don't worry about anybody that tries to oppress you or hurt you or whatever. After they kill you, there's nothing more they can do. He said, I'll tell you who you ought to fear, which after he has killed you, will cast you into hell. And boy, that's wisdom. That's wisdom. That's truth. Do you know that in your soul today, as you come here into the meetings and you're trying to communicate with God and trying to hear from God, do you know that? You need to fear God.
Amen.
You need to love God. You need to serve God and you need to praise God.
Amen.
Wow. Look down at verse 17. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace, God's favor upon me, like you're a spoiled child, like just your mom and daddy don't have anything to do but to bless you, to feed you, to take care of you. Little babies, they can't do anything for themselves. Boy, do these mothers and daddies put out a lot of time on these little ones. Have you ever thought about what God's done for you? Have you ever thought about the way God looks at you and the favors God has brought your way? Old Jacob, way back there in Genesis, said, I don't deserve all the truth you've shown me. What about you? Wow. God took me out from my buddies and got me away from them and saved my soul and revealed truth to me. Truth. What are the greatest joys of my life today? The truth. The Word of God. Some verse that I can hang the things on, I can believe in and trust and enjoy and look forward to. I'm not fearing the future and I don't fear death. Because I have grace and truth and it came by Jesus Christ. Look at John chapter 6. Verse 67. Jesus had begun talking about his blood, and him drinking his blood. Some of his disciples just got a little bit upset with him, and they left him. Quite a few left him, in fact. Then Jesus is talking to the disciples, his apostles. In verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? They've seen a lot of people leave. They're going. They're leaving. He said, what about you guys? Will you also go away? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Where are we going to go? Why? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? You got any place to go? I don't have another place to go.
Amen.
I don't have another place to go. I go to Jesus and Jesus alone.
Amen.
I go to Jesus and Jesus only. I don't go to Jesus and the church. I don't go to Jesus and my family. I don't go to Jesus. I go to Jesus alone. I don't have any hope of forgiveness. I don't have any hope of salvation. I don't have any hope of meeting God without Jesus Christ. Where are you going to go? Buy the truth and sell it not. If you've got the truth, don't let anything take that away from you. Hang on to it. Memorize some of these verses. Mark them in your Bible. Your Bible doesn't need to be pristine, pure, and clean, and white. No markings in it. Put some dog ears on it. Put something in there. Write some verses down. Underline some. Red, green, yellow. I don't know. I've seen all sorts of liners like that. I had one Bible one time. I bought it. It was just a good reading Bible. It didn't have anything in it but big print. And I looked for the promises of God, and I read that Bible through, marking every promise I found. That was a valuable, somebody took it. I had a good Bible. I read that. I'd get down, get blue, I'd go get my promise Bible. And I'd just read green. Everything that was green, it was a promise. Boy, that will lift you up in nothing flat. Why don't you get a hold of some of the promises of God? And hang on to them. Make them yours. Make them yours. Make those verses your verses that you live by. Know where to find them. Know how to tell somebody about them. Know how to take somebody to them. Promises of God. Wow. For God so loved the world. He did love the world an awful lot. That He gave His only begotten Son. I love some of you in this room. I love all of you a little bit. Some of you a little more. And I love my kids and grandkids and great-grandkids even more, okay? There's not a one of them I would give for you. Not the youngest baby. Not the weakest child. Would you? You think about that a minute. Would you? You're staggered at Abraham's offering of Isaac. You're staggered. I am. I almost can't see how God even would put that much of a test on man. It blows my mind every time I read it. But God did that for you. God did that for you. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. If you're a Christian, you know what that ought to do to you? That ought to thrill your soul. You ought to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And if you're not a Christian, you ought to believe it and claim it and accept it. Trust in it. Let Him forgive your sins and save your soul and change your life this day. Heavenly Father, take your